Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm here with my co-host. Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
She's there. I don't know what's happening, but I see her.
Can you hear me, Reggie?
I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay,
I can hear you. I'm just saying, Carol may need to restart. But yeah, you're on the air.
Perfect. Okay. Well, we're going to have a really interesting and controversial show today, and we're going to look at some sacred cows and make some hamburgers. And there is a reason that we're approaching this in this way, because there's so much misinformation. Hi, cutie.
I had an error message, Reggie. It says somebody taken over my link, but I went out and came back in.
Good. So I was talking about the fact of sacred cows and hamburgers. And that we're looking at the myth or the misinformation that's constantly being fed about cholesterol and the misunderstandings that we carry with us consistently in relationship to the misinformation we're fed. And this started by Carol in working with people, found that she had five people very recently with naturally very low cholesterols.
Six now.
So we were talking about the problems and the risks they face. So then we're going to go from low cholesterol that we see in patients, and then we're going to discuss what statins do to our cholesterol by artificially suppressing them, blocking their entrance into the brain, what they're doing to the brain, what they're doing to our immune system, et cetera, et cetera. And I could go on for the rest of the show discussing the side effects, but let's start our show with what you're seeing in your patients.
And it's a big problem. So people are coming to me for coaching, particularly around hormones. And I am getting some of the most disturbed endocrine system people you can imagine. One of these is male and the rest female, but their hormones are severely tanked. And then when, thankfully they had test results, the cholesterol levels like 112.
So Carol, you just went out. But go on.
One had 96. Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay.
One 96 had cholesterol?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is what you get when you're dying, really.
Exactly. Advanced cancer or active advanced AIDS. In the old days before we had the medicines, I used to see that, but not even that bad. I think the lowest I've seen is 120. I've never seen a 96. Go on.
Well, I just did. So it's astounding. And the 122 person showed me her test results, and it wasn't even red flagged. The range for cholesterol on her test said under 200. found that 10 to 15% of autistic kids are in this arena where they're extremely low. And I know you and I were chatting, we're talking about how do you get a person like this to restore their cholesterol to a more healthy number? And you spoke to Dr. Thomas Lewis on this show. I was unable to make that one, but he's been studying with his Health Revival Partners stuff. He's been studying the literature for where the optimals lie. And for cholesterol, he says 220 to 280. I had seen that previously with an another doctor. They said Metropolitan Life did a study, like what level of cholesterol is associated with longevity, and it was 270. So what the heck are we doing?
And yeah, I heard of a doctor when a woman came in and with her blood test had very high cholesterol, and he said, congratulations, you're going to live longer.
Yeah, so what the heck are we doing? But exactly. Not too many doctors. Now this, one of these people, and it was on behalf of her daughter, so she sent me this, and we checked it out. It's a White House posting. It said that Biden's taking the statin drug Crestor, and his total cholesterol is 115, which puts him down in this area. There's evidence in the literature below 160. There's a higher rate of death, primarily cancer is the cause of death, nothing to do with heart disease. If your cholesterol's low, you have a high risk for cerebral hemorrhage.
And you also have a very high risk of different forms of dementia.
Yes.
You can't hold facts, you can't hold memories. And you're confused over your words, you're confused. And when I saw that, I was just shocked that they would keep him at that level. He also has a high risk because his immune system is down. Plus, you can't make hormones. You can't make testosterone. What are your hormones made of? They're made of cholesterol and protein. So if you're not getting adequate cholesterol, or your cholesterol is being artificially suppressed, you can have serious problems. Let me say one other thing.
Oh, no, I want to give the call-in number because we want people calling. And then you can.
Oh, yes.
Please.
212-209-2877. That's 212.
Love to hear from
2877. Yes, we would like to hear from people. And what's happening, another thing that you cannot make, you cannot digest because you cannot make bile. So no,
you can't make vitamin D either. One of the metabolites of cholesterol, 25-hydroxycholesterol, is a very strong antiviral.
So
molecule.
What are they doing to this poor man? Unbelievable. Yeah. That they have him in such suppression. Actually quite frightening, to say the least. So
my people all have some real problems. One has a history of seizures. Several are teenagers and having huge hormonal problems and imbalances and inability to make progesterone for it. Why do you get a low cholesterol?
Exactly. That was a question that we were asking ourselves. Why and how is cholesterol so suppressed in many people? And that we had to go back and do some studying to go over. And this is what we've come up with. And we've seen that works. Go on, Carol.
Well, some of the reasons, malnutrition. And I think that's an issue with some of these clients. they're eating like too much plant protein, too many carbs that aren't necessarily healthy carbs even. So you really need, actually, if you want to bring your cholesterol up, several people have recommended animal fats and proteins. But there have been studies in the literature, like feeding healthy young men 2 dozen eggs, and it doesn't budge your cholesterol. Because the cholesterol has to be made in the liver. So liver diseases could cause low cholesterol. Hyperthyroidism could cause low cholesterol. It could be, there could be a genetic component in there. So we don't really know all this. And why are we, we're in this kind of philosophy. The lower you can go, the
lower is better. Exactly. The lower is better. So we want to kind of discuss it and discuss what we've learned. One thing we understand is that the organs create cholesterol. And there is a reason why they do. Our brain creates cholesterol, and that cholesterol has a 5-year half-life.
The brain wants
cholesterol. Exactly.
Some of the tissue in our body, like your turnover rate in, say, your gut tissue is like one day.
And our liver makes cholesterol. What other organs are? Is it our pituitary makes cholesterol?
Yeah, the brain makes its
and
own
the
cholesterol.
Adrenal.
Yep, and 20% of the body's cholesterol is made independently in the brain, and your brain uses a lot of cholesterol.
The testes also make cholesterol. So, yes, exactly. So. It's essential, and we have created it into a bad guy, and our whole medical establishment worldwide is focused on cholesterol suppression. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, that really is scary. So I have a book by Sergey Zugin, The Magic of Cholesterol Numbers. And he's one, actually, it's very hard to do any sort of research at all in low cholesterol because you ask for low cholesterol and they give you high cholesterol papers. And so it's like, how can I ask this to get what I need? But in his book, he addresses that. And he thinks low cholesterol is of course not a very healthy state. And he believes that you can raise low cholesterol with hormones, the downline hormones, the sex hormones, the adrenal hormones, the bile, the vitamin D, that if you start putting this in, the signaling back to your body may normalize your cholesterol. So it's the philosophy I'm going to go with. Also, in this situation, I'm asking each of them to do some sort of liver detoxification, given that something may be impairing the liver's ability to make cholesterol, which would be the major organ. One of them started doing some things, and she's doing castor oil packs and coffee enemas, and then she had a visit to her chiropractor. And she goes, well, this was funny. My chiropractor today told me I have a sluggish liver. So so I don't know on what basis, but that's what I'm saying too, that something's gone wrong with the liver. Now, he also talked. Yeah, it can't do it. And
yeah,
I think,
it's not conjugating and not able to make the cholesterol that our body needs. And the majority of the cholesterol, we forget, but the majority of the cholesterol that we have in our bodies is what we make. It's not only what we eat, it's what we make. Just like Carol saying that people were eating, males were eating a dozen eggs a day. And I'm 12 off, and what happened is that there was no cholesterol rise. And so we really have to look at the functioning of the organ. Go on, Carol.
Well, there are cholesterol supplements.
Hello?
And you, Hello. It looks like you can hear me. No?
Hello?
Hello. It looks like I'm on just fine.
I can hear you. I can hear you both.
Okay. Corinne can't hear me. So,
oh, can you hear? I can hear you now.
Go I can on. Hear you okay. both, Corinne and Carol.
Oh, thanks, Reggie. That's very helpful.
Well, I didn't hear that.
So where am I? I was talking about Sergei Dzugin, and one of the things he also clarified for me, because we tend to ignore these things, where does the cholesterol number come from? We don't measure cholesterol directly in the bloodstream because it's not there. It's tied onto carrier proteins, and it's the lipoproteins, the high density, low density, very low density. These are the carriers. So that cholesterol number for total cholesterol is just a calculation. It is the sum total of high density lipoproteins plus low density lipoproteins, and then they add the triglycerides number, which
and
means
the HDLs.
No, I said HDL already. And the triglyceride number, they divide by 5, and they use this to estimate but not measure a very low density lipoproteins. So this is a calculation, and you can do it for yourself if you look at your blood numbers. But that's why when we say, well, the fat is important in your diet, but the protein, you need the protein to be carrying around the cholesterol to your body. So that's the case with, for sure, the mom was telling me, and actually this was yesterday, her daughter's having a terrible time, and she's low cholesterol. She's having severe, she was actually put in the hospital the last cycle, and they think it's going to happen again because she just totally went out of body or something. And when her menses started, she actually, but this girl, her mom, liked to eat protein. So you don't have the building blocks for the carrier proteins for cholesterol. So there's a disconnect there. I wanted to talk about something else. This is called liver insomnia. This is kind of an aside, but Corinne, you asked me this morning, where does insulin and glucose come in? And there may be more. We didn't really have time to research this more. But there were some old dentists, endocrinologists, about the 1920s, 1930s, and this tendency to wake up in the morning, early hours of the morning, be very wakeful. They called it liver insomnia. And the solution was to eat an apple. And this would bring up your blood sugar. The insomnia was because you got a big
blood sugar drop.
Boost, yeah, blood sugar drop, and then a big burst of adrenaline to bring up your blood sugar.
Low blood sugar is an emergency state. Right. So the body then surges adrenaline to be able to counteract that.
Yeah, precisely. But the other thing that's in here, why they called it liver insomnia, was the liver stores glycogen. That's the storage form of glucose. And that's why you should be able to sleep through the night, because the liver stores enough for your nighttime fasting and then gently gives it out through the night to your body. So if your liver has not stored enough, then you're having this insulin glucose imbalance with lots of drops in glucose. And I'm finding in these same people a tendency to high glucose and high insulin, either pre-diabetic levels or just under pre-diabetic, almost there. So there's this component going on. And back to the liver, I think the liver is not able to function as well, not enough glycogen, not enough cholesterol being made.
And we find that that when we have elevated cholesterol. So let's go to the opposite side. They're looking at LDLs, and what they're looking at is a total LDL. And LDLs are essential. They're essential for the membrane, the outer membrane on our cells. They're essential for the sheath that protects and covers our neurons. They're essential for bringing cholesterol into the brain. And so there's this prejudice against LDLs and total LDL suppression. I've heard a cardiologist tell a patient of mine that if I had my LDLs down to zero, I'd be happy. Well, I don't think so. I just don't think so. And so what
you'll
we're
be
looking
dead.
At, exactly, what we're looking at is not high LDLs. What we really want to look at is the low density, these small dense LDLs. And those are a partial and a low, very small amount of the total LDLs. So we have to look at this in a different attitude and a different understanding that cholesterol is not the bad guy. When it's too low, we really do have, we really can have problems. I had a patient of mine who said her doctor told her to go on statins. Well, we know that the risk of statins for women is much higher than males, a higher incidence of neuropathy, a higher incidence of diabetes in women.
That's right. So, these drugs cause diabetes.
Exactly. So
actually, I think that the president was taking, Crestor is really well known for that.
Oh, and so she was told a story by her doctor. She said, I really want you to go on these statins because a friend of mine was talking to her girlfriend, and her girlfriend dropped dead on the while she was talking to her on the phone. Now, talk about putting fear into a patient's heart. If I heard that, I go, well, maybe I better do something right away. And what I said, well, what did she die of? Was she obese? Was she diabetic? Did she have a murmur or atrial fib? Nobody said it was because of cholesterol.
Nobody said it was a statin deficiency.
Exactly. And that was used to convince the patient to go on statins without really looking at all the other parts of her life. You know, we haven't seen that lowering cholesterol per se enhances lifespan, but we have seen that lowering cholesterol can bring a multitude of side effects, and I can have a list of them, when they're lowered artificially through medicines, through statins. And so, Carol?
Oh, well, we can go. You're touching on a little bit of a nerve here. I had a friend and business partner, name was Sandy. And Sandy was a pharmacist. She's pretty conventional. In Sandy's family were a lot of long-lived people. She had a big family. And they all had pretty high cholesterol levels, like around the 300s. And they left him alone. And they lived well, and nothing happened to them. Sandy, being the good pharmacist she was...
I think I'm hearing the end of the story already.
Embraced that she needed to bring this down. And she did. She took some statins. I took to her Broda Barnes' book, Hypothyroidism, The Unsuspected Illness. This is one of the reasons why cholesterol may go up. And if your thyroid's not working well. And she had every symptom of low thyroidism, pale skin, really scant hair, a tendency to put on weight all the time. It was a big struggle for her. And she read the book, but it didn't make the dent that book made on me. It was life-changing for me. And so she continued, and she got some sort of neurologic problem. She got tremors all over. She got extremely fatigued. She could hardly walk. She and her husband went to doctors all over the place and all the big prestigious medical centers. Nobody knew what was wrong with her. I said it was a statin. She told me, oh, well, I was off of my statins for 1 month and it didn't make any difference. So I don't think it was that. Well, I do think that was it because she'd been taking those for years and years and years. Anyway, ultimately she died. About a year after she died, well, actually I back up one thing. They did an autopsy. They then diagnosed it as ALS. About a year later, I came across an article about the tendency of statin drugs to cause ALS. And I go, well, I sent the article on to her husband, but he moved on. What could you do? He said, I know you were saying that, Carol, but nothing to do now. She's gone. So I am very saddened because the world lost a really fabulous woman much too soon. I think
the
we
number
need
to call.
Oh, yeah, just what I was thinking. 212-209-2877.
Give us a call. Join the conversation.
Yeah, join the
conversation. I know many of you have been told to go on statins. Some of you have, and some of you have refused. But when you refuse, you've got to understand certain things. What creates the toxic form of cholesterol? What creates it? What we're looking at is well, there's a list, and Carol and I'll go through it. The list is elevated insulin due secondary to elevated glucose. Here we're back into that circle. Glucose, insulin, obesity can create an inflammation that acts on the blood cells and on the cholesterol. We're also looking at stress. Isn't this funny? Everything I've said so far is completely within our control. The stress is an interesting thing in that it cortisol can stimulate the body. Elevated cortisol can stimulate the body to clot. And so very, very high stress people, you know, you might hear of someone who's on the tennis court working, and they drop dead from a heart attack. And what happens is, and I've heard this more than once, and what happens is that they're type A's, they're so stressed out, they maintain themselves in a very high level or ability to clot. And what happens is the body, when the stress is up, is prepared for battle. That's what stress is. Stress is the way for our body to prepare for battle. And when we battle, often there's injury. And when there's injury, there's often bleeding. And it can be life-threatening. So the body is preparing to protect itself from excessive bleed, excessive injury. And that's very often what clotting is all about. When we look at clotting and when we look at inflammation of the cholesterol, we really have to look at our fibrinogen levels. We have to look at prothrombin levels. But the real important and essential test to take is calcium, arterial calcium levels. And that's a quick, easy test that you can get. It's not even that expensive. And they measure the calcium accumulation on your arteries.
It's a CAT scan.
It's a CAT scan. And if by chance it's low, then you're really not having a negative effect from your cholesterol. And that's an important thing to understand. When they do always ask for a calcium arterial scan, the CAT scan, that looks at the accumulation. Because if there's no accumulation, you really don't have a problem. Carol?
Yep,
oh, I'm going to also invite the audience again. 212-209-2877. I'd love to hear from everyone that was told out there that they should go on statins and what they did about it and how they feel. The number 212-209-2877. And this is Take Charge of Your Health. And we're looking at some sacred cows here, and we're making hamburgers.
Well, I have an aside for that. Maybe I'll save it.
Okay.
So, Dale Bredesen wrote a book called Reversing Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And I really recommend this book highly to the audience. Dale Bredesen's work, University of California in San Francisco, he and his group looked carefully at Alzheimer's and identified 32 possible reasons for Alzheimer's. Not just one, not tau protein. In fact, he says that might even be protective. So with these 32, he talked about this. He uses a metaphor with a leaky roof, that you have to investigate all these possible initiators and fix them, and then you can recover from Alzheimer's. And I think he's got a 100 case study published someplace too, where that actually did happen. And the hormones are one whole chapter of how important this is, and then consequently you need the cholesterol to make the hormones with. So he said it's not acetylcholine, the drugs that were created for Alzheimer's so far targeted acetylcholine, but he said it might not be that at all, and the drugs really have been a failure. You have to look for everything. So the book is kind of nice. It's sort of a cookbook. It explains all these 32 holes you might have to patch, how to test for them, and then what to do about it. I think it's quite brilliant, and there are he's teaching practitioners how to do this. So we have different ideas about what's going on than the conventional medicine. We're not, we're sort of in this flowchart thing. If this and that, if your cholesterol's high, then a statin. We're not asking, why is the cholesterol high? It goes up when you're pregnant. It goes up when you had sex the night before. It goes up if you're injured. It goes up if you have low thyroid. It goes up if you're out of sex hormones and adrenal hormones. It goes up if you're low in vitamin D. Why aren't we doing a deep dive for each and every patient? If you see a higher cholesterol as a signal, why not investigate, like, what is happening? And instead of just poisoning your enzyme so you can't make it, it seems like a very primitive thought process to get dragged into this scenario. But we've made it quite the giant thing. All kinds of particle testing and all kinds of drugs. And have we produced healthier, happier people? We have not. We're producing sicker people, shorter lifespan. They've been showing that too. Lifespan is shortened by pushing your cholesterol down. Or even if you have these low cholesterol levels without any drugs making it, this is a serious issue that is shortening your lifespan. So why are we considering this a holy grail or something of health when it is anything but? It's seriously a problem.
What we're seeing is that low carbohydrate diets, and that very often means low processed foods, low fast foods, all shift the way the body makes cholesterol. Now, when you go on a low carbohydrate diet, quite often your all your markers will improve. Your inflammation will go down, your weight will go down, your energy will go up, your triglycerides will go down, which is quite interesting. But what might happen is your LDLs might go up. But those LDLs have to be looked at and examined for the type. And what they're finding is generally the LDLs increase, but they're increasing in a large density lipoprotein rather than a small dense lipoprotein. And what you're having is the increased effect of the LDL on your body, on your brain, on your membranes. So, what can we do that shifts our cholesterol risk profile? Should we make a list that way, Carol?
Well, I want to touch on Dr. Zugin also talked about the cholesterol levels above 300. And he said 5% of the population is that way. And it's really a Gaussian curve. And maybe that's more than people understand. That's where the ranges come from, the normal ranges. When you see a range for most things on your lab, the middle number is where most of the people are. And then it kind of drops off on each end.
On
So,
high and low.
right. So actually those over 300 are part of the normal curve. What we've been doing is by committee, we've been deciding to move that curve. And that's not very scientific at all. But he said the same as for low cholesterol. If you look for the hormone deficiencies for the high cholesterol, because what's happening, I briefly mentioned it, with the high cholesterol, something's blocked in the process of making your hormones. And so maybe identifying the block or help your body with the hormones will feed back to the high cholesterol people and bring them closer to the middle. Where most of the people are. So he presented some case studies that he actually was able to do this with a few patients, and maybe more since he's published the book. So he's saying that over 300 with 5% of the population, that's not an abnormality. It's what can happen.
And what we find is that that curve is being shifted according to the population. So just like we've said many times before, testosterone used to be at a range of 1200 to 450. When I was trained, if we spotted a testosterone below 450, it was an abnormality and should be explored in terms of the health of the patient. Now the range is down to 200, 250,
180. We have
180.
money.
And so what's happening is this range has been shifting, but it's been shifting based on thousands of people and thousands of people's ill health. And that
Okay,
changes
we
the
have a couple
range.
callers, Corinne.
Oh my goodness. Hello. Hello? You're
Hello.
live?
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
Welcome to WBAI. What's your name, please?
Thank you. My name is Patrick.
Hi,
And
Patrick. How can we help
fan of
you?
the show and the work you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm in
Your
a
question?
relevant situation, and just briefly, I did have a heart, open heart surgery a year ago, about a little more than a year ago. And my cholesterol it wasn't previously noticeably high, a little high, but I never considered statins. My doctor didn't push me. It was around like 230, 240, 220.
That's perfect. And
yeah, I was happy with it, and she wasn't pushing the statins or anything. Then I had this artery blockage, and I had symptoms, and I went, and I had the operation. And now my cholesterol with the statins, 80 milligrams a day, is down to 105, which I think is too low, but the medical community, I'll phrase it like that so I don't throw anyone under the bus, is not, they say, oh, that's fine. One person said, that's exactly where you want it. That's where you want it to be. I'm alarmed, and a naturopath that I work with says that's too low.
Yep. So, and below 160, I believe this is in Dr. Zugin's book, the mortality increases 5 times.
So
why aren't we paying attention?
Now, yeah, did they do a scan, an arterial scan on you to see calcium accumulation?
No, not that I know of. I wrote that down to measure the arterial calcium levels.
Accumulation, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, we do not remove
that, by the way. Atherosclerosis, the plaque, is not removed by statins.
Now, the other thing is that we really can't sit here and treat or diagnose what we say is not a recommendation for treatment, but we're just going to talk theoretically right now, okay?
Yes, so, of course, I understand that. And I'd like the name of that book again, that Karen, Carol.
Oh, the Magic of Cholesterol Numbers.
Okay, I got that right. All right, so yeah, we'll talk theoretically and with the data that you are in touch with, that you know.
Okay, so the 105, which both Carol and I agree upon, and many other people agree upon, is just too low. And what you want to do, or what someone wants to do, is keep their insulin level down, keep their blood sugar down, maintain healthy weight, keep their inflammation down. And you can do that in a few ways. You can do that by having adequate vitamin C, by having curcumin, which is very powerful to bring down inflammation, by drinking ginger tea, another powerful anti-inflammatory. And what you want is your cholesterol to be anti-inflammatory. You also want to know your fibrinogen level and your prothrombin level. Both of those are very important to understand what your clotting is. And now you must be, they probably got you on aspirin.
No, Eliquis.
Eliquis, okay. Okay, yeah.
They're trying to prevent clots, which is probably the real reason. So your arteries get damaged and you put down a clot and it becomes full of fibrinogen. Your body's supposed to digest that and move it along. But you can have clot upon clot upon clot, like rings in a tree when they do an autopsy. So it's the clotting, not the cholesterol, that's the problem. And that's what you find when they open those plaques and look at what's in it. There's very little cholesterol in there. There's a lot of fibrinogen and blood clot stuff.
And calcium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what you want to do and what we found there, but you have to balance this with your Eliquis. It would be wonderful to go to a doctor that has an understanding of what you're dealing with. I'm going to say something that there's a cardiologist. I don't know if he takes patients right now because he got inundated, but his name is Patrick Fratellone, and he's a holistic cardiologist. Very, very knowledgeable person. So you want to create that balance between the Eliquis and the and enzymes that you're taking and foods mm-hmm. that you're eating to create and maintain this balance. There's also a blood test for cholesterol buildup. It's not totally accurate, but it gives a little guidance. What?
Is that what they call oxidized cholesterol?
That's a little different, but oxidized cholesterol is what you're trying to avoid.
Right.
Okay. So it would be very good to get to a holistic cardiologist who can give you some guidance. I'm not the happiest camper hearing 105 cholesterol, but you need the guidance, and just listening to a radio show or reading a book is not enough for you. You need some guidance, someone to work with that'll help you through some of this.
Yeah. We have another caller, Corinne.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Hi. You're live? Your name,
Dallas,
please?
First in Bronx, New York.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear your name.
Forgive the echo. Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York.
Daryl, hey, Daryl.
Hi, Daryl.
You sound a little muddled. Are you on a speakerphone?
I'll take it off speaker, but I think.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so how can we help you?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, much better.
Much better.
Well, first of all, I'd like the audience to come up with $400 for this information that you're sharing with us. So that we
I would love it too. It would keep us on the air.
And if you're challenged with capital audience, go to goodsearch.org. Learn how to donate without using capital out of your pocket. Second of all, you all present stuff that is just off the chain. I need to know whether you all would consider doing a podcast as a premium, detailing the different biomes in the body and how they interact with one another. Because this cholesterol thing, let me ask a question.
Please.
Your arteries, well, your blood vessels in general, when they get inflamed, and then they get damaged. Is it cholesterol? Is it the low density cholesterol that repair that attempts
no.
to repair? Not attempts.
No, no. no. I think I saw a number in another book. About 3% is all that's in the plaque.
So what we're
looking at? It's mostly blood clot, thrombofibrin.
Go on.
And if your fibrinogen to break down the fibrin isn't working well enough, it gets stuck there. So the treatment, there's a really good book called The Clot Thickens. And it's really, it's written like a murder mystery, but it really pulls in all the literature to support that. And it's like you cut your finger and the scab would never go away. In fact, you damage that scab and then you get another piece hanging on to the first piece.
Exactly. What we're dealing with are scabs. But what we're dealing with are injuries inside the arteries, like little bits of inflammation. And some of that is caused by homocysteine. And we've spoken about homocysteine before and how important it is to understand your homocysteine reading and keep it down. And some of that, the homocysteine can be elevated by inadequate B12, folic acid, and B vitamins. But B12 and folate and B2, riboflavin, are very important pieces of that.
With the methyl groups they have, it's
exactly.
Methylation is the process that you need and break down homocysteine.
Now, Carol, we're coming to the end.
Yeah, I see that.
Thank you so much for your call.
Daryl, thank you. We appreciate it.
Exactly. And I appreciate your appreciation of the show. We love it. We love working with it. We particularly love when people call in, and we thought, and we were right, we were going to get some important calls, and we did. So it's now we've got 2 minutes, Carol. Well, how would you like to end this? You get one and I get one.
All right. If somebody's out there who knows how to solve the problem of too low cholesterol, creating a lot of endocrine disorder, what's the magic? How can that be corrected? I think there are probably many more people than we know who are on that deep end, off the deep end there, and they really do need help. And often I see people measuring hormones, for example, at menopause, and they don't even bother to check cholesterol. And so we don't know. We don't have that piece. So it's the foundation piece to make all our hormones, vitamin D, bile. We need our cholesterol.
And we also, we don't get a breakdown of the cholesterol. We get a total reading that has absolutely no meaning. We really can't base diet or anything on a total cholesterol number. But how many times have you seen in complete blood tests of fibrinogen level, Carol? How many times have you seen prothrombin levels? Very important for understanding inflammation and homocysteine also. If we draw a homocysteine, it comes back that it won't be paid for by insurance. And it's such an important measurement that can really change our levels of our health and the quality of our life. So this is what I've got to say. Don't just listen to a total cholesterol number. And when someone recommends statins, look at your diet, look at your supplements, look at your lifestyle, your exercise, and your waist measurement. Those are all very important in terms of understanding if you're dealing with inflammation. Just cholesterol isn't a problem. We find that in blue zones, cholesterol levels are high. But these people live a very calm life. They do a lot of walking, exercise. Every single blue zone has a fresh food that they eat daily. So we have to start thinking like that. And I see a lot of that on the internet. People building their gardens, making small little towers with lots of tomatoes and herbs growing in it. It's kind of exciting what we're watching and how people are taking such an interest in their health and the quality of their life. So thank you so much, Carol. This has really been fun.
Yes.
And we'll be back next week.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.